Now, Stieg Larsson's Millennium Trilogy, beginning with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, took the world by storm. It sold more than 80 million copies. The books were, of course, also made into blockbuster films in both Sweden and in Hollywood, starring Rooney Mara as Lisbeth Salander. Stieg Larsson died in 2004, and the series was actually published after his death. But David Lagercrantz is one of Sweden's best-selling authors, and after Larsson's death, he took up the mantle to continue the legacy, writing the fourth installment and now the fifth book, The Girl Who Takes an Eye for an Eye. David joins us from Stockholm, Sweden this morning. Tēnā koe, good morning.
Good morning.
How is Stockholm, Sweden this evening? I guess it is for you.
Yeah, it's the evening, actually. So it's horrible. Like it's rainy and cold, and it's hopeless. But we are quite used to it, so I think I will survive this year.
Well, I'm sorry to say, I'm not trying to rub it in, but it's beautiful and warm in many parts of New Zealand. And am I right in thinking you know a little bit about New Zealand? Because one of your earlier books was about the 1996 Everest disaster, wasn't it? And Rob Hall.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. Yes. Indeed. And then I didn't do my research as well. So I actually did go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
But I read a lot and all about him, actually.
Yeah. Oh, it's a funny thing when you make these little connections. Anyway, we're here to talk about The Girl Who Takes an Eye for an Eye. And I wondered if you wouldn't mind, for listeners who don't know how you came to take up writing the Millennium series, if you could tell us how you came to find yourself in this position.
Well, it's a long story, but I tried to put it short. I switched agent, and we had a conversation, and I'd just written a book about this Swedish soccer star, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
And then I had a theory that maybe I'm best as a writer when I collude myself with someone else. And then I saw my agent's eyes sort of, you know, she was starting thinking. And a couple of weeks later, I got a call from Norstedts Publishing House, who was, I belong to the competitor, Bonniers.
Yeah.
And they had a strange thing. They say to me, David, we want to see you, but please, we don't want you to go in the main entrance. And that was quite a funny thing to say. Why didn't they want me to go into the main entrance?
Yeah.
And then he smuggled me in, down in the basement, and in the room without any window, Eva Jedin, Stieg Larsson's old publisher, asked me if I would considering to write a fourth book in the Millennium series.
Wow. Because it's very different. The Millennium series, when you compare the Millennium series with your biography on Zlatan Ibrahimovic, they're quite different.
But I've written other books, and I think they saw a connection between me and Stieg Larsson. We both have been journalists, and we both have been interested in extreme characters. I mean, you can see similarities with Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Lisbeth Salander. I've written about Alan Turing, you know, the great mathematician and code breaker, you know, the father of the artificial intelligence. So I think they saw me sort of as a perfect match. But what I think they really saw that strange day at Norstedts house, they saw my passion. Because the strange thing is that I didn't hesitate a second. When they asked me, I just screamed, yes, I want to do it. I felt sort of the fever in me because I love the book. And then I'm an old reporter, you know, and I certainly saw the challenge.
Yeah.
That was something that I couldn't say no to.
And in your reporting career, you had covered some infamous crimes in Sweden as well.
Yes, in my youth. Yes, right, yes.
Did you feel the weight of responsibility given the success of the Millennium series up to that point?
I mean, you can't even believe it. In the beginning, it was, as I said, pure passion. You know, I really wanted to do it. My head started to burn. I wanted to find a good story. But then, of course, I understand what the risk that was. You know, so I was having nightmares of the critics and the readers and even Lisbeth Salander coming after me. Yeah, and then, of course, and then we published in News. There was a big controversy in Sweden because Stieg Larsson is such an icon, and people were discussing, could you do this? So, part of the time when I was writing the Millennium 4, The Girl and the Spiders, where I was scared to death.
Yeah.
But being scared is not nice, of course, but it could be good.
Yeah.
It gets you going. It's like a reporter just before the deadline. You think you will crack down.
Yeah.
Yes.
The pressure is a good thing. See, the amazing thing is, I remember when they announced you were going to be continuing the series. And honestly, I thought, you know what? These things never work. It never works out very well. Whoever picks it, they can never live up to the original books. But you know what? The Girl in the Spider's Web was a really, really clever piece of writing. And I think, I'm sure you feel as though the critical reception to that book, as well as the commercial reception, vindicated you and vindicated the decision to have you continue the series. Because
actually for me at least it was quite beautiful, because in the beginning everyone was after me, and the first review sort of said that this is the worst book ever written. You know, there were critics, thirsting for blood. But then after a couple of weeks, the wind shifted and great reviews coming in from New York Times and Guardian. And suddenly, I think people accepted it.
Yeah.
And I think people said, because Stieg Larsson's book was such a success and people loved them.
Yeah.
And I was getting emails, people said, the girl is back. Lisbeth is back. We have missed her. And that was a beautiful thing to experience, actually.
And did you, when you were writing it, did you try and invoke Stieg Larsson in your writing style, or did you think, you know what, I can't be 100% Stieg Larsson, so I'm going to be me with a little bit of Stieg Larsson seasoned across the top?
Yeah, I think that was a good way to put it. And I mean, we all had saw it that way. It had to be a collusion. Of course, the reader has to feel at home at the Millennium universe, but I must put something in myself because otherwise it wouldn't be good. So that was the thing. Be trustful to his universe, but put yourself into it.
Yeah.
So to just copy him wouldn't be, that wouldn't be good, because there's only one Stieg Larsson.
Yeah.
And I think during the process, I think that was important, because I saw with my kids, they're here right now watching Forrest Gump, actually. But back then we saw Christopher Nolan Batman.
Yeah.
And that inspired me that maybe I could do the same. I could, add to the mythology, because there's really a great sort of Greek mythology around Lisbeth Salander. I can add darkness, add something new to it.
That is very interesting. That is really intriguing. And of course, The Girl in the Spider's Web is being made into a film. Do you have to be involved with that?
Well, I have. I mean, I'm not writing the script, but I have long discussion with the director Freddy Alvarez and the producer in Hollywood, and they're actually start shooting in just in 5 weeks.
Oh wow!
With Claire Foy, as you may know,
yes,
who's the queen in this beautiful series, The Crown.
Yeah,
she will be Lisbeth Salander, and they will start shooting in the second week in January in Stockholm, Prague, and Berlin.
Oh, fantastic! So, will you go along and have a look?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm always hoping, don't we all, writers, hoping for a small cameo.
Yeah.
Maybe I can be, in a small scene, but probably not. Probably not.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned earlier one of your previous books, which was Fall of Man and Winslow, a book about Alan Turing.
Yes.
What was it that attracted you to Alan Turing's story?
Oh, there was so much. It's such a tragic and beautiful story. He was this outsider. He was homosexual back in the years, of course, when there was legal to be homosexual. And he thought in absolutely new manners. And he was the sort of the theoretical father for the computer. He was a war hero. He was, the main person who cracked the Nazi Enigma code. But even though all he did, when he was convicted as a homosexual, you know, the British society sort of, you know, draw him to to kill himself. They convict him and they forced him to have chemical castration. And then he dipped an apple, a sad night in 1953, he dipped an apple in cyanide and died lonely in Winslow.
Yeah.
And the story sort of was heartbreaking for me. This brilliant man died in misery.
Yeah.
So I think I started with a daydream. Think if I could go back in time and to tell him all the great things, show him a modern computer, you know,
yeah.
telling him that he's an icon. But that was really a story that got to me.
Yeah. Oh, it's a powerful story. So is there going to be a third book after The Girl Who Takes an Eye for an Eye?
Yes, I'm writing it.
Oh, superb.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I've written a third book contract, but then I think I will move on. So I will write three books, and I will do it with passion, and then I will do something even more crazy, maybe.
Well, we look forward to seeing what that is. What an interesting career you've had, David, and thank you so much for making time for us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Lovely speaking to New Zealand. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're really
have a good morning.
Yeah, looking forward to your third book as well. We will do. You have a wonderful evening in cold, wet Stockholm.
Yeah, okay. Nice speaking to you. Thank you very much.
That
Bye.
Is David Lagercrantz, author and journalist. His latest book is The Girl Who Takes an Eye for an Eye. Maureen's already sent me a note to say she's read it and it's incredible. So if you haven't yet, make sure you get on it. It really is a difficult thing, isn't it? Imagine being charged with trying to continue Stieg Larsson's legacy. I mean, that I just would have thought it's one of those things where you just feel like you cannot win no matter what you do. And yet somehow David Lagercrantz has managed to do it.